So my guest today is Jaunt. This is what he sounds like. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm a donut sitting in Starbucks. I don't give a fuck, 'cause I am a donut. I am your new string you forgot to bring, curled up and waiting for a good tuning. And I am an old jar buried 20 feet under the MGM Plaza in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am the grapefruit just trying to break through.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Jaunt. Jaunt, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Tell me what you're eating there.
I'm eating some pineapple from the corner of the street, which he sold to me in a nice bag. I was actually looking for something to drink. And he said, anyway, he gave me a bag of pineapple. That's what I've got.
Welcome back to L.A. You've been you're originally from England. You just spent a long time there playing out, and then you just came back from South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Are you tired?
No, just quite refreshed, actually. Been back a couple of days, back in my old flat. Nice to see all my old friends again. And, it's just really nice to be back in L.A. because it sort of feels like home. So.
Nice. Tell me, this is a stupid question, but the name Jaunt.
Yeah.
What's its origin? Because it's kind of an unusual name, and I've been telling people, oh, John's going to be on the show, and they want to know if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm sure people call you John T. by accident, stuff like
and,
that.
And yeah, never again.
Only once.
Yeah. It's actually rather boring, actually. It's just my nickname from my parents gave me. They christened me Jonathan, and then they called me John. They've always called me John. So.
Nice. That's my name, too, actually, Jonathan.
Right, okay. There you go.
Well, listen, I can tell you're itching to get to a song, so I'm going to let you play, and cool. We're going to be treated to a live song by Jont, and then we're going to talk about your influences and all that good stuff.
Live
what are you going to play
from
for us?
LA. What am I going to play? Maybe I'll play a new song. I'll play Sweetheart first up, because there's a little story behind I've written a new song just after Sweetheart. There's a song called Sweetheart, which was on Wedding Crashers, at the end of Wedding Crashers, and but hardly anybody ended up hearing it because some people heard it, but like it was right at the end of the movie, so like most of the people that heard it were movie theater rushers, as far as I can tell.
Before you get into that, how did you get involved in that? How do you get your song in the end credits of a major motion picture?
I got a good manager.
Yeah,
that's probably quite a lot to do with it. I had met these really good guys. Who produced the song and made it sound good? So I guess that's probably them. But anyway, so that and I ended up getting loads of feedback from people, movie theater rushers around the States, who'd heard it, and they used to go in and listen to it, especially at the end of the movie, and they loved cleaning the theaters to it and all this sort of stuff, which I found pretty amazing. So and that was quite inspirational. So I wrote this song for them called House of Dreaming, which I then put on the put on my website as a free download, as a sort of Christmas present for all movie theater rushers worldwide.
I have this image of you in my head of
Then I thought maybe I should just do tours of movie theaters.
Just for movie theater rushers. That's a great idea.
But this is the song, and then I'll play the song afterwards, which I wrote for them. But this is the song that was in the movie. It's called Sweetheart.
Okay. You're listening to Jont on Is Good on killradio.org.
Sailing on this motorway tonight, thinking I'm a drown if the waves aren't right. Wind pushing me from side to side, and I'm thinking of what I had. How if I broke my legs and I broke my head, even after all the things we've said, you'd still be there by the side of the bed, waiting for me to breathe. You're my sweetheart. You're my sweetheart. And if I never see you again, I just want you to know what I think. Santa took me out for a walk in the park, and it's dark ran round the tracks, lights lit up. People running round in their shorts in the rain, again and again. I said, you can come back tomorrow, you know you can. I said, you know I don't want to do that, man. So he told me he loved me and he shook my hand. Now I'm waiting, shaking in my van, thinking that you're my sweetheart. You're my sweetheart. And if I never see you again, just want you to know what I've said. I got so far to go. You're always gonna get by. Can I only see the road? But I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try. Cause you're my sweetheart. You're my sweetheart. And if I never see you,
Whether we're together in a knot or not, it's small beer compared to what we got. So don't smoke yourself to death. I will be the one, I'll always be there if you've got to run. Yeah, I'll be there if you've got to run.
John, thanks for coming in, by the way.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So, that's obviously a very personal song. Do you think of yourself as more of a singer or songwriter? I mean, what comes first, the lyrics or the music?
I don't know, really. I just think of myself as a writer. Well, poet, I guess. I just started off as a poet. Well, it's just all the same thing. I can't really see any of it as anything different. The word poesis means creation from the Greek, and it's like, that's just, I just see everything the same, whether you're an artist or whether you're doing what you do, or, you know, you're a visual artist or a musician or whatever. It's just the same. It's all the same thing. You're dealing with the same stuff. You're just trying to be the channel for something, or trying to, and then just try to improve how you do that, just, you know, over time.
Has it always been music for you, like from an early age?
No, not really. I used to, my mum used to train me to do poetry recitation competitions when I was 8.
But that probably influenced you.
Well, I don't know. I think back to it and I think, like, yeah, probably. I don't know. Like, I think my mum certainly thinks so. She's like, oh, yes, enunciate your words. You know, like,
does she take a lot of credit for your recent successes?
All of it, yeah. Yeah, totally. And then poetry, I just started writing poems and stuff when I was about 14, got really into that. And then when I was 17, I traveled around America interviewing American poets. I sort of wrote to them all and asked them if they had an hour spare between October and, you know, March of that year. And then it ended up traveling around on Greyhound and stuff, following the Jerry Garcia band and interviewing American poets, which was great.
Wow.
Got myself a tie-dye bandana and... so I had dinner with Ginsberg in his flat, and, you know, met all the sort of these establishment poets that were in the Penguin anthology. And then I got really into that and started, you know, publishing poems and publishing other poets and stuff when I left university. But that whole world is, you know, I was spending hours and hours trying to write. You know, I got very influenced by a couple of older poets, very minimalist aesthetic they had, and was spending hours and hours up in my room, you know, like trying to write these little 5-line poems that were just like all about nuances and tones of words, and made, you know, my friends would read them and they'd be like, oh, right, yeah, okay. And, you know, nobody, it was a very sort of closeted sort of thing. It was good training in a way for writing, but I got very frustrated with it, so I ended up so I was playing my guitar as well at the same time writing songs, and that, you know, there you had 20 people sitting around and you had to get them excited and get them really into it straight away. So it seemed more real in some sort of way.
What do you want out of a listener? What do you want them to get from a song? Do you want them to understand what you're singing about?
Connect, don't you? That's what I think. That's, I don't want anything of a listener. They can do what they like. But I think I feel like there's a, you know, the song comes alive if there's a connection. So it's coming from up there, it's going through your head, and then it's going out there. Mm-hmm. And so if it's not going out there and connecting with anyone, then, it might be a bit of a waste of time. I don't know.
Well, I'm anxious to hear this new song Ushers. Yeah. So why don't we go into that? So if anybody has a question for John or for myself or anything related, sign on to AOL Instant Messenger and send us an instant message. The handle's Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. John, what's the name of the song?
It's called House of Dreaming, and it's from the point of view of a movie theater usher who hears Sweetheart at the end of Wedding Crashers and decides to leave their job and go on the road.
That's great. You're listening to John on Is Good on killradio.org.
There's only so much popcorn you can sweep, only so much of any movie you can see. So I'm handing in my uniform, heading over the mountain, yeah, I'm gone. 'Twain, I won't see you Monday, so look after your little girl. I shall get you the money, on that I give you my word. But I won't be coming back, I'm heading over the mountain, girl, I'm gone. I never felt like I was breathing, quite like I'm now that I'm leaving. This house of dreaming for a new world. Now that sun, it is retreating. Yeah, my heart is really beating. Leaving home for a new world. I heard a song on that film with Vince Vaughn. Heard it so much, I started to sing along. Yeah, something about going away, not coming back, but got under my skin. Well, summer's over, I'm not going back to school. I'm not going to crazies after work to shoot some pool. Yet I'm finishing this shift and I'm heading over the mountain, yeah, I'm gone. Never felt like I was breathing, quite like I'm now that I'm leaving. This house of dreaming for a new world. And now that sun, it is retreating. And now my heart is really beating. Leaving home for a new, leaving town for a new world.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard of anything quite like that. It's a song about how someone received the song.
Mate.
It's postmodern, is that what it is? Well, you already have a new fan. Jack Flash has instant messaged us. He wanted to know who's,
nice one,
who's
Jack.
Playing. So, okay, so I have in my hands one long song. This is your EP. Is this your debut
That's
world
my
release?
Debut mini album. Unfortunately, it was a limited edition. Mm-hmm. So there are only 1,000 copies. I think there will be... And in the next few days, I'm going to go and take the last 40 copies down to Amoeba, so in LA. So there will be some LA copies in Amoeba, and a single as well, which we put out, which has a new mix of You Can Be the Stars and a couple of other tracks. Well, it has House of Dreaming on it, and so there'll be some stuff. But yeah, that's the first thing I've ever put out.
Where else can people get this? Other than can it be downloaded?
You can download the tunes, but at the moment we haven't got it on CD Baby. We've got it on iTunes. And Napster, but the UK versions of iTunes and Napster, they're quite difficult to buy in the States at the moment. So you can hear stuff and download some stuff from my site.
Tell me a little bit about East End Management. This is obviously an organization that believes in you largely.
Yeah.
I know they helped you come out here to LA and work on music, and they're obviously behind helping you put this together. Tell me about your relationship with your manager.
Tony Dimitriotis is East End Management, basically. And he's been around for a while. He manages Petty and Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac. And, you know, he used to manage lots of different people from Dylan to, you know, whatever, onwards. And he's been very supportive. And the
Did he find you, or did you?
No, the person that would. I came out here in April 2003 to New York, having been in England for a while, doing music, doing different stuff, different bands, different managers, different deals almost happening, almost, you know, falling through, all the usual stuff that happens as you're sort of learning to do what you do. And met this amazing guy called Tony Mylant, who was a manager as well. And he started managing me, and he was just about to, he was sort of working with Tony Dimitriotis. And anyway, so he catalyzed a lot of the stuff that was going on here. In fact, Can't Turn the Sea Off is about him, because he died about 6 months after I met him, which was very sad. But he was an amazing bloke. I was very lucky to have a chance to meet him. So,
yeah, well, I mean, you're always fortunate if you find someone who can work with you on a business way, and that you also can establish a real personal relationship.
Yeah, he was a very close friend, but he also he catalyzed things for lots of different people, and he had real vision to do with music. And
well, because they have to be able to understand your music, and if they have no personal connection with you, you know, I mean, I go through the same thing with acting, where it's like, you know, you really need an agent who has an idea of who you are, and not just another actor in the repertoire, you know?
Yeah.
You need to be believed in, so it really makes a difference. I'd like to actually play another song from this EP. Yeah. What do you recommend? Do you want to hear Catcher in the Sea Off?
Yeah, why
don't we hear that? Oh. And then when we come back, I want to ask you about Unlit and where I've gotten half of the guests for my show.
Right, okay.
So you're listening to Jaunt on Is Good on killradio.org. This is from his EP, One Long Song, and the name of this track is Can't Turn the Sea Off.
Can't live in a safety net, so nobody really drops you yet. Well, they don't hold on forever. Can hit you like a jumbo jet. Don't stop flying, there's a way to go, yeah. And we're headed there together.
And we're back with Jaunt on Is Good on KillRadio.org. We're listening to his new EP, One Long Song. So Jaunt, what is, or what was, or what shall be Unlit?
Unlit, I don't think anybody will know what you're talking about. So
well, you're going to have to explain
enliven
it.
Them, yeah. Enlighten them and enliven them.
Unlighten them.
Unlighten them, yeah. Unlit is a night. Well, it's developed into something. Oh, there's so many different ways I could describe what
well,
it is.
Well, okay. How did it start? Okay. It started in England, yeah?
It started in England in 97. It was a night I put on in a venue called the 12 Bar Club, and I had this idea. It was sort of influenced by these... it was sort of influenced by these haiku that were in marquees in New York when I was there, it was a sort of a street art project, and you walked past it, and there was this thing that you didn't really expect to be there. It was like a poem, and he was like, wow, what's this? And he realized the whole street was covered in all the marquees of all the porn theaters on 42nd Street, which were being knocked down.
Oh, actually, I know exactly what you're talking about.
We're covered in...
I've seen it. They're in haikus.
Sorry. We're covered in poems and stuff. Anyway, so I was sort of quite interested in organizing a night where you would have a similar situation where you turn up to see something, but in fact you'd have other things that would be there. So I had a poet and a classical musician normally interspersed with the three songwriters that I'd organized, or the bands or whatever. So it'd be sort of an evening of stuff where people would listen. Then that ended up, I moved to the States, and I put that on in Galapagos in Brooklyn a couple of times. And then when I moved to LA, I finally got a flat after living here for ages on people's sofas, and was really excited that I had my own flat. And so I bought loads of cushions and rugs, and within a couple of days put on an Unlit in my apartment. And then it started being this sort of house party that I'd have, but I'd also invite people. My friend Polly Poulsma was in town playing at the Troubadour, so she played like the night after, and it happened to be the night of Unlit. And so we had a sort of little bill of about two or three acts. I remember there was a girl called Sarah who played the trumpet, muted trumpet, which was great. And then you, of course, came and did the DJing, you know. So and I met you like at the Watt Club before, and so you were there playing, spinning tunes and stuff beforehand, and then we'd have a little bit of music, live music, for about 40 minutes an hour, because the whole thing's based around the audience. That's the whole idea, was that I wanted to try to create something that was the perfect sort of hybrid of a party and a gig. So at a party, you sort of tend to like hang out with lots of people and chat to them and stuff. At a gig, you hear lots of your good live music, but you don't necessarily chat to all the people that are there and meet everybody. So
right, you listen to the music that's being played.
Yeah, but you sort of kind of get the best of both worlds at Unlit, and it's also free, and it's also in someone's house. So it's then evolved from that. I was going to get chucked out of my apartment, and so Unlit stopped, and then people said, oh no, you've got to carry it on, you can do it in my house, or you can do it in my house. And so it became literally just something that was like this sort of nomadic hybrid of a party and a gig that travels around the world now wherever I go, and I put it on in people's houses. I'm doing my first one this Saturday in Portland, Oregon.
The phone is ringing. I'm going to see if they're calling for you.
Okay, I doubt it.
Kill Radio. Now you have a wrong number. Sorry. I've had it where bands, like, where people call, you know, or, like, the drummer for the band will call and be like, you forgot to mention me, or something
that.
And they'll have a nice little on-air conversation on the phone.
Yeah.
But then we also get calls for Sue sometimes, and Sue doesn't live here. So it became this sort of traveling house party / gig.
Yeah.
And I've had so many guests on here that I met in doing it, and
well, I've met a lot of people through it as well. I guess because I started off doing poetry and publishing people's, you know, then this poet, Jonathan Williams, who's an amazing poet who used to be at Black Mountain College, and he started a thing called the Jargon Society, which is a sort of underground poetry press. He saw it as his job as being a poet was also to publish poets, and I sort of see the same sort of idea in a way, not necessarily to set up a label, but to do something whereby you're, you know, just being, you know, if you're a songwriter or an artist or a performer or something, like, you know, it's sort of second nature to me just to organize things. I want to organize things and put things on, because that's what you're, you know, it's about the vibe of what's going on. It takes it away from always being, you know, being obsessed about with your own work and stuff the whole time. It's more to do with it being about that place that you get to when everybody disappears in the room. And, you know, you're just off with this song or this energy, this song that's coming through. you know, and that's what happens at Unlit, you know, maybe a couple of times a night, because the equation will be right between the amount of space in the room and the amount of people and right. the tune that's coming through, and because there'll be a security, everybody will know that they're not going to hear that much music, so they can really concentrate on it, and they're not just going to be sat around with loads of people playing guitars all night. It's just going to be like a specific amount of time, and then it all sort of, I don't know, that's what it's all about. So that's what Unlit is trying to create.
And so I guess it's still alive then.
Yeah. I'm gonna do a couple in LA. So yeah, if you're interested in coming, then just email Kill Radio, or you know, or go, or join my mailing list. Go to the website and join my mailing list, and you'll hear info about it.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's gonna be one in Topanga actually. I met. It's not tied down yet, but I met Jessica Hoop on the plane coming back from South by Southwest, and she seems up for doing one. And Chris and Thomas as well, who play on KCRW quite a bit. They're a great singer-songwriter sort of duo. They've just done their first album. They're going to be playing. So I think the three of us will probably do an Unlit somewhere.
Well, I want to ask you about Austin and playing with a band and all that, but would you mind going into another song first?
Yeah, let's play another tune. What shall we do? Okay, what about... I'll give you a cut. I've got a couple of new ones. Everyone wanna be loved. Everyone wanting a home. Everyone wanting to touch. Everyone wanting to know. Don't wanna be nothing. Don't wanna be nothing. I've seen a lot of things, and I haven't reached the end, but I haven't found a way that I can ease my soul. So come with me, my friend. It's time that we begin to feel it again, to find a way home. To find a way home. Something is breaking your heart. Breaking your bones, trying to make a new start, trying to make it alone. You've seen a lot of things, and you haven't reached the end, but you haven't found a way that you could ease your soul. So come with me, my friend. It's time that we begin to feel it again, to find a way. Don't let go. Can you feel it coming in? I feel so. I'm loving till the end now. Never too late to begin. Yeah, I thought I reached the end, but I just found a way home. Oh, I just found a way home. There's gonna be a change, not gonna feel the same. It's gonna be a day, and it's coming soon. Not gonna be full of pain, tied to a wheel in the game. I'm gonna be like the rain, running home to you, yeah. Don't let go. Oh, can't you feel it coming in?
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jaunt. I'd like to read a little review, if I could. It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that's right.
Jaunt sucks. No, it's manchestermusic.com a couple months ago. This is from your press packet. I just think it speaks quite interestingly about your EP. It says, it'd be far, far too easy to make some Coldplay comparisons to Jaunt's ethereal, stadium-yearning bouts of introspective observation. On You Can Be the Stars, the atmosphere is fantastically thick, enough to cut through with a knife, and stiffened with the melody of a Steve McQueen-era prefab sprout, which suddenly rattles off with a background of haunting noises and a stammering piano. The Beck-ish cut and paste loops of You Can't Turn the Sea Off swing into an indie pop chorus, ballooning with loose-limbed vocal lines and fizzled distortions. The collection goes a bit quiet until it winds down with the sounds of beach-combed acoustica and early morning broken-throated vocals. A well-executed concept, bookended by its best songs, Jaunt may well be onto something rather good here.
Wow, I haven't read that. Who's that? They can come to
another gig. Please send your donations too.
Yeah, right.
What is it like being reviewed? How do you feel about that? Is this something? Does it make you nervous? Does it make you excited?
I read a few, and I think I've made a deal with myself not to read anymore, because I just don't think you've got, you know, you're just going to put up with there's loads of negative energy, there's loads of positive energy behind it. I think it's best not to read them, probably.
Yeah.
You can't avoid some of them, or you're hearing some things or whatever. But I haven't had that. I mean, you know, I just had this mini album. It's not like I've had that. They're actually quite, end up being quite a lot, because you have quite a lot of online things that review things, and then quite a lot of papers and stuff. But, and I was fortunate. Well, I wasn't fortunate. It's just like a lot of people like the stuff. But then, you know, you have to. People, I don't know. I think it's best just not to read them, really. I don't think there's nothing you're going to really get out of them, because otherwise, if you listen to the good ones and you say, oh yeah, that's great, then you also have to listen to the bad ones.
And so I just don't think
there are lots of people in there, and also people just have different tastes, and people come at things from a different time. So if it was important to me what the reviews were like, then I'd be coming at it from the wrong point of view anyway.
But do you feel influenced at all by the way your music is perceived, or are you kind of just putting it out there in the hopes that it'll land where it belongs?
I'm sure everybody's, you know, influenced by, you know, you're influenced by lots of things. The way you want to connect and stuff, you'll probably work out the way I write words or the way I do things. It's, you know, you want to be influenced to a certain extent, because that shows that you're flexible, you're a living thing which is reacting to the environment. But I think it's not a very good idea to be particularly influenced as to what you're going to write about or how you're going to say it, or, you know, you're the artist, you're creating the thing. So I think, you know, the nearer you can get to just trying to just listen to your instinct as opposed to anything else, or your intuition or whatever. Yeah.
Tell me about South by Southwest. How was that experience for you?
It was great. Yeah, it was really fun.
How do you get involved in that? How do you join that?
How do you get involved in that? My agent got me a gig down there. We did the Billboard showcase, which was really good. Bunch of people down there, had my band came over, so that was really nice. Like, because I've just been playing with a band for the first time in 3 years, and all these songs I've been writing, like that last one, The Way Home. I mean, that's a huge band song. It's not, but so I'm just sort of toying with just like an acoustic version now, but because that's where it came from. But like most of my songs, it's like, you know, there's lots of stuff, orchestration that sort of fits around them in a band sort of way, not like strings, but the band came over, did a gig, they flew back and got drunk for a couple of days, you know. That's sort of, yeah.
When you write songs that you know are eventually going to be played with a full band, are you also writing parts for the bass and drums, or are you just sort of finding the right people
really
to play with and
not writing parts, but there'll be pretty obvious things. There'll be pretty obvious things which like, for example, in this where it goes, don't go away tomorrow, please don't go away tomorrow. Well, it's obviously like that's going to start off with a guitar line.
Right.
It's like do 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 do, like a sort of Stone Roses sort of thing. And then it's like,
right.
Please don't go away tomorrow, please don't go away tomorrow, I'm having so much fun.
I'm having so much fun. Anyway, like that.
Yeah, no, that's quite nice. That's good. It's a rather short song, but it's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, no, well, you know, there's more to it.
What about collaborative work? What about music that involves Jaunt that isn't necessarily Jaunt?
Oh,
music?
Wow. Well, there's lots of stuff. There's an album by a band called Breaks Co-op that came out in New Zealand. It sold about 35,000 copies there, and I think it's just coming out worldwide. And that's got a song of mine, a co-write I did with the guys, Hamish Clark and Zane Lowe, on there. We're called Not Last Night. And, well, there's a band. I just do other stuff. Wherever I go, really, I sort of collaborate. So there's, like, you know, Eyesight Project, who've been on the show. We've got a little project called Laughing Musketeers, or The Laughing Musketeers, which is Jesse, Julian, and me, where I sort of, which is the stuff where I've improvised lyrics and stuff. And I used to live with them, so I've just improvised a bunch of stuff over their tracks, and we're going to put that out some stage. And there's a band in Brooklyn called Our Tanker Convoy, who I think are on MySpace. They're a great band, so hopefully some of their stuff's up on their MySpace site. They're like an improvisational, instrumental collective, about six or seven people. And I made up stuff over their things and just improvised stuff, and we all record stuff as we're improvising. And then this month, collaboration, you want to know about collaboration? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
February was a like huge month for me, because I'd never really done that whole writing with other people thing that much. I'd done it a little bit, but mostly I just write stuff on my own and just, you know, quite like that space. But I met this guy called Matt Hopper through MySpace, who's a great songwriter. I heard his song called Our Love Is So Soft, and wrote to him and said, you know, this is a great song, you know, whatever, and just basically said, you know, probably just, you know, see you around at a gig or something. And he wrote back and ended up, he was going to come on tour and stuff in the UK, but he had this project which he's started with some other songwriters called February Album Writing Month, where they try to write 14 songs in 28 days. They sort of challenge their muses to come up with that many songs. And there's no prize or there's nothing, but it's just this sort of thing. And now all around the world, all these people, it's actually, if you want to go and see the site and check out some of the songs, it's fawm.org, form.org, February Album Writing Month.
Before I forget it, Jack is actually instant messaging us again. He wanted to know what the name of that band was that you were speaking so highly of.
Oh, Artanker Convoy. So ArtAnker, Artanker Convoy. Yeah.
Nice.
I have to phone Arthur and tell him that I was giving a big shout about it. So I tried to write 40 new songs, but I thought there's no way I could do that on my own. So I did it as all collaboration. So I wrote to various different poets and, you know, songwriters and musicians. Jesse sent me an MP3. Andre Codrescu, who's a poet living in New Orleans, came over from Romania in the 60s. He's like really well-known novelist and poet. He sent me some poems of his, and I turned three of them into songs, one of which called Exile Song, you can hear up on my site. And I had an amazing month just collaborating stuff. It was really fun.
What's Green Music and Gold?
Green Music and Gold, that's Kiefer's John and Sam, who are my friends who I met here, who was just amazing really to meet them. I met Kiefer's first, and he is a great producer. He's all those sort of funny sounds and different things he's got.
This
amazing
is the production
player.
Company,
yeah,
the production put together
guys.
This
yeah,
album for you.
Yeah. They're great. I got to hook up with them when I'm back, in fact. It's like,
Do you want to go into another song?
Yeah, why not? That'd be a good idea. Do another new one. It's called Let's Roll.
You're listening to John on It's Good on killradio.org.
Forget. I've been on a cold and lonely road. I need something to make me warm again. I don't care who came before me. I don't care who just got up and left. Not thinking about tomorrow morning. I just need something to make me warm again. Well, come on, get up, let's roll. come on, get up, let's roll. My mind is like a motor running. I need something to cool it down. I need to turn it off and come in. Babe, it's been so long, I'm really needing it now. I see the fall coming. I see the buildings falling down. Beyond the dream, there's only nothing. Won't you give me something to make some sense of it now? Come on, get up, let's roll. Come on, get up, let's roll. In the hole, we're only sailing for a while. Our time is honey, the storm is coming. Let's roll.
Nice.
Thanks.
Rolling, man. That's so that's a brand new one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a new one, yeah.
That's a new one.
How do you settle on just six songs to release? I'm sure you have quite more than that just, in your head.
Yeah, just chance, I guess. You know, you just end up doing a few things and you're like, oh, what have I got that's decent, that's recorded, which I can put out?
And how are you feeling about it? I mean, I get the sense that... that you're about to explode as an artist, that you know, you're about to be received by more than just the people who are going to check out this 1,000 yeah. limited release.
I get that. I've been getting that sense for a while.
Yeah.
No.
How far do you think you're going? How far do you want to go with this? Are you
I guess
a rock star?
If it was up to me, I'd have gone. It's not really that side of. I think. I think the songs are good, and I really like playing, and I think I've got, you know, something I'm going to do, and I think I'm going to probably play it to a lot of people. But who knows? Who knows? I think so. Yeah, I'm very excited about where it's all going at the moment, and I've got a lot of. I guess it's more to do with just the team of people you have around you, and I've got a really good band, and I've got really good management, and you know, who are basically like friends, really. And they're all really into it, and they're very excited by it, and so that allows me, and they're very sort of committed to it, so that allows me to get on with just carry on trying to write. So like the last 6 months, I just went back to England, and I wrote The Way Home and Let's Roll and a bunch of other songs, and it's like I just feel like I'm just beginning to learn how to write a song, you know, that's just starting to get rid of all the obstructions and stuff you put in the way when you're trying to write. And actually so I'm just excited about just writing. I just want to write some more, like when I'm here in LA, I just want to write some tunes, and you know, the other stuff will all just happen as it happens. And you know, I don't know who I'm going to play to or how many people I'm going to play to or whether it's going to blow up or whatever. I mean, that's probably something that I was more interested in before, and now I've got to hear that I'm less interested in that because the music's sort of taken over. So,
where can we see you next?
Well, I'm playing on Friday at your night, tomorrow night at the M Bar, and then I'm playing in Portland on Saturday. There's a guy who heard my music on MySpace who has basically I put up a thing on MySpace saying if you want to do an unlit in your own home, then pay for me to fly out there and I'll host an Unlit in your own home. And this guy in Portland, Jesse Espinoza, he's done that. So he's paid for my flight. So I'm going up to do an Unlit in Portland on Saturday.
Wow.
And he's also like taken stuff around record shops and got stuff on the radio, I think. And I've got a gig in the Goodfoot Lounge in Portland on Sunday night. And I think I'll probably do some more stuff in LA. But the best thing to do is just join the US mailing list or on the website.
So I guess that happens to you sometimes. I mean, you put a song out there in the ether and it infects someone and they want to be a part of what you do. So
yeah, yeah,
they'll take steps to do that. What are some of your best and what is your best and what is your worst live experience?
Oh, God. Well, probably one of the best live experiences was just the other day. We played at Madame Jojo's and it was packed out, like 250 people, and it was... in London, great little venue that used to be a sort of strip bar burlesque place, or is in fact still is, but just on different nights has music and stuff. And that was just great vibe playing with the band, and that was like probably one of the best gigs I've ever done. Worst experience was, I don't know, probably about 4 days earlier when we were in Wolverhampton or something playing to three people or something. I don't know. Worst, I can't think. But there probably been a couple of times where I've done really bad gigs when I've been really stressed out, and yeah, I don't know, I can't really
think. When you're just not on top of your game,
yeah, I mean I either sort of do it or I don't do it, and all I'm concerned, I don't really get nervous, I just get concerned and I want to be my best and do the thing and make it worthwhile for people to having to have turned up, and sometimes I don't and then I get really pissed off.
Let me. I'd like to squeeze as much music out of you as we can. We're about to run out of time, so I definitely want to get another track from the album. And if you have another live song,
Cool. We'll chuck Stars on, and then I'll do one. I'll do one to finish. I've got nice. Yeah.
So this is the first track on One Long Song EP. And by the way, online you're Jaunt Music, www.jauntmusic.net.
Yeah, jauntmusic.net. Jaunt.
And myspace.com/onelongsong, which is the name of this EP. You're listening to Jaunt on Is Good on killradio.org.
Feelings can go away, but little girl, you are here to stay. Mommy and daddy love you so, and they're never gonna let you go. Oh, one song so long that we sing, and if you stayed awake another day, you know what I mean. But sitting here with you, it's all I really wanna do. You can be the star, you can be the tune. There's nothing at all that you cannot do. Life will throw you up, but love can float you down. And when things get tough, we'll always be around. You can be the star, you can be the star. I wanna hear what you're talking about. Send you a big kiss up to the satellite and down to the ground. Forever is such a lonely word, but together is the best word I ever heard. You can be the stars, you can be the tune. There's nothing at all that you will not do. Love will tear you up, but life can touch you down. And when things
And we're back, if only for a short while, on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jaunt, and you have one more song for us.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. It's called Fade Away.
Here I am in my favorite place, not sure who I am, where I've been, what remains. But there's a warmth in this age-old embrace that will keep me in a trance all my days. And it's so rolling, yes, so holy, yes, so rocking, it makes me fade away. This is where it all began. This is where you hold my hand. This is where I'm gonna land. Alone and you, beside you. Pull up the faders and fly far away. Leap up into the sky, half hooray. This is more than a beautiful day. This is a home that they can't take away. And it's so rolling, yes, so holy, yes, so rocking, it makes me fade away. Yes, so rolling, yes, so holy, yes, so rocking, it makes me fade away. This is where it all began. This is where you hold my hand. This is where I'm gonna land. Alone and you, beside you.
John, thank you so much for coming in, sharing
your
music,
your
time, and your words.
Nice one.
Be well and best of luck. And we should all come down to M-Bar tomorrow night to see you play again. You've heard it now. Come see it and hear it at the same time. 1253 North Vine, cross street is Fountain, and that's tomorrow. Doors are at 10, and it's no cover. And that's my show. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Next week, I'm going to be interviewing Will Dog on the phone, bass player for Ozo Motley, so why not tune in every Thursday? Who knows what'll happen next? Be well. Be very, very well.